Who knows? Who knows? Who knows, Ron? We'll see.
We're gonna make a go with this. Happy Frequency Friday, everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, hey man, it's great to, to be able to chat with you. I think I met you in person, if I remember, at Expona. Is that what you remember as well?
Yeah, I think I accosted you in the hallway, probably running around crazy getting set up, and I'm a pretty high energy guy, so I probably, hey, Ron, you don't
Hey,
know me. I'm Nicholas. I work with LTA.
hey.
Come to our rooms.
Yeah,
Continents,
no.
I suppose.
I think your gear, if I remember, was in this one of the spatial rooms, and Clayton is the one that turned me to LTA first. He was like, "Dude, you got to get your hands on this gear." And right away, I really liked the look. I mean, that was the first thing that, grabbed me is I was like, "Man, that does not look like the normal audiophile equipment." And that was kind of refreshing to see that. So, yeah, man. So you're a young guy. You're not
Hey, thanks.
Yeah,
I'll
this
take
is
that as a compliment.
yeah. You don't look a day over 67, Nick. So, yeah.
That's right. I always tell people when they say, I'm having my 29th birthday again, I think it's silly. You don't lie younger, lie older. That way people say, I met the best looking 65-year-old ever today.
Awesome. I love that, man. Well, give us an idea. I think a good place to start is how did LTA happen for you? What does that look like in your day-to-day operations? How did this all happen for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I'm a type A kind of guy. So I actually approached LTA after leaving my previous job. My previous job was with a record pressing company. So we could do a whole hour on record pressing and that side of the business, which I would love to do. But so I left there, and then I happened to live 2.5 miles, if that, from LTA, and I emailed them just through their website, and I said, "Hey, I'm looking for work. I want to stay in the music business, and I'm a hi-fi nerd, audiophile, whatever you want to say, already." And then that was in, let me see, that was just over a year ago. And so then, I came on part time and then, met you at Expona. So it happened pretty quickly. But, really, I just said, "Hey, I want to work for you." And it was just good timing. They needed some people. They were obviously doing good things and growing. And I had a good skill set, exactly what they needed. I've been in, marketing forever. And lots of my 69 years or so. And so it worked out.
When did the audiophile bug bite you? When did that happen for you, where you really got into hi-fi and audio? Is it always been a part of your life, or?
Well, music certainly has always been a part of my life. I mean, even when I was a kid, right? So my parents were spinning records. I grew up on a mix of from my mother, show tunes. So, I can sing every word to My Fair Lady. And then, but also, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Bob Dylan, and that side from my dad. And then I had two older sisters who are 5, 6 years older than me. And when they went to college, right, they started sending, and this was back in the day of college radio. This was in the 80s, and so they would send me tapes home, and I got all the hip new. I started listening to Billy Bragg then, and stuff like that. And so music has been huge. I went to college in New York City, met a bunch of musicians, and then became a sort of amateur live music photographer for a while. So I've been to a ton of shows. Love going to see live music, love supporting musicians in that way. It's really the one direct way to support musicians these days. And then, so I can't, but I can't necessarily say I was an audiophile then, right? I was just a music fan. I didn't have the money. I was a poor college student. And but I had that growing up. I had the standard, whatever, like Kenwood, all-in-one thing with the
Big
speakers. And I thought that
towers.
was, yeah. And I thought that was the baddest thing in the world, and I got that for Christmas 1 year. And then a few years later, I got a CD player with 3 CDs, because I mean, that was all we could afford, kind of thing. You get 3 CDs. That was it for the, until you saved up enough from your allowance or whatever. Tracy Chapman was one of those CDs. And then I think Bobby McFerrin, that'll date that. And then I think it was Decades. It was the sort of greatest hits of Steely Dan. Anyway, so it was probably, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago. I'd been working a little bit more, a little bit of money to spend, and then started getting into hi-fi a little bit more. It was also got into vinyl. You know, I got my dad's records and started doing that thing, and then started up the chain. And actually, Ron, when I truly started to say, like, okay, I want to spend some money here. Like, what I'm working with is not, you know, what I know it can be. Of course, what do? You turn to YouTube. And I had purchased a Rogue Cronus Magnum.
Too. Oh, boy.
And, you know, I like you do with your purchases, after you purchase it, even, you're still researching those purchases, right? Yeah. Does anybody else do that? Yeah. Is it just me? and, you know, you just want to verify, like, you know, is this a good purchase? And, you know, and then I found you because you had a CM2 as well. And that was probably, I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah. Somewhere in there. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, going from like a, you know, pressing records company straight into LTA is what you thought audiophiles were. Is it, did that come true? Or is it kind of surprising that what you kind of thought audiophiles would be is actually different than what you might've expected? I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Great question. Definitely have learned, or I guess sort of, you know, I've been disillusioned from being in the industry a little bit. You know, it's my job. I talk to audiophiles every single day. I talked to three or four of our customers or potential customers just today. And we're in a pretty slow time here based on, you know, what's going on. But, so that's a lot. And yeah, so there are definitely some myths out there. I mean, let me see if I can sum them up in no particular order. One, most of the people that I talk to don't have dedicated listening rooms.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that people often think, that, you know, if you don't, you're sort of you're not a real audiophile or whatever. Yeah. And from my experience, most of the people that I talk to don't have, and so they really, which is frankly, I love.
Yeah.
I want music to be more, integrated into someone's life. Right.
Absolutely.
And I'm not poo-pooing, you know, dedicated listening rooms.
Sure.
It is sort of sad when I see them with just one chair in them and no opportunity for others to come into it. But, you know, I think it's great. You know, one of the things about music is the community of it. So I like, you know, so anyway, getting off topic. No dedicated listening rooms. I guess sort of, you know, second on that is they're not all wealthy. You know, and you know, our gear is not inexpensive, but it's certainly, you can spend a lot more.
Oh yeah.
And, yeah. I think the, you know, if you're spending $2,000 to $5,000 on an amp or some component, people just assume, oh, you're rich, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't have to work. You're independently wealthy, trust fund baby, whatever, rich kids of Instagram. And it's just not the case. It's, you know, most of the people that I talk to are great. Thank you, Nicholas. I've got to see what I can do to sell this other piece of gear.
And they move
and
up.
Then,
yeah,
exactly. And then I'll be back in touch.
Yeah.
So it's, that's definitely one. Let me see. Lots of people. So probably less technical than what I get from, frankly, watching reviewers.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not, you're in the middle on the technical side. You know, some people are all about measurements and you know, that sort of thing. And some people are just, you know, not at all. But, you know, outside of the questions that I get are, I have these speakers, which of your amps do, you know, would work best? And, you know, then I start asking them more questions. It's a calculus problem. It's not a straight, you know, addition problem. If you have this, you know, then that. And so, but people aren't asking, they're not asking about the type of components, right? Like, you know, they ask about tubes, you know, what type of tubes, NOS or whatever, but they're really not talking about brand there either. Very rarely, you know, it's the rare, customer who's asking about output impedance and, you know, that sort of thing. it's really about recommendations, and people are, you know, and if I start talking about, you know, oh yeah, you know, the Zotal circuit and we run a third of the current through the tube and blah, 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 you know, I can just, even over the phone, I can see their eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
It's really about, you know, the questions, the things that people are caring about are, it's what type of, or telling me, and what I care about when I'm trying to give them good advice is, what type of music do you listen to? What's your room like? Obviously, what are the other components, and what's your current setup like?
Yeah.
And then it really starts there.
Yeah.
And then it's just fine details. If it, you know, if it needs to get technical, if we think there might be an issue.
Yeah, you bring up such an interesting point, and it was somewhat challenging going through the review process with both the pieces. I have the little guy right here. I love this little guy, but even with the ultralinear, is as a reviewer, you kind of have to. Well, first of all, you have to know your audience, and I'm not writing something for a hi-fi magazine, right? So I am putting something out there on YouTube, and where my heart is right in line with what you just perfectly described, is that I have to remember some folks don't actually want to dive deep into the really technical stuff. They just want to know what is this thing and what's cool about it. That's it. And so what was challenging was as soon as I started walking into, all right, a output transformer, Zotal technology, micro Zotal technology. If I spend 20 minutes chatting about this, then this isn't going to be useful. And so, yeah, what you just said totally makes sense to me. And it's kind of refreshing that my experience in reviewing on YouTube is actually mirroring a lot of your experience in engaging with your customers. That's good to know that, yeah, we do need to understand some of the basics. And I think that's super important. But at the end of the day, I think what people want to know is what makes this thing interesting and what did Ron like about it and why? You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. So.
Yeah, agreed. And it's about, very gross level characteristics of things. Not necessarily. I think you get into a lot of you get into dangerous territory, whether you're a reviewer or whether you're someone like me and you're trying to help a customer through a decision. And I'm not really. I never try to sell people. I'm trying to, get people to a decision point that they're comfortable with and a piece of gear that they're comfortable with. Whether it's mine or somebody else's.
Yeah.
And so it's. I think it gets you in trouble when you talk about what's better and what's worse. That's. Yeah,
It's a that's
I mean,
yeah.
I think you can, there are, if you're talking about, a $50 thing versus a 500 versus 5,000 or whatever, there is probably categorically better and worse.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of to me or, what I hear or this versus that, right? I think that's the most helpful thing. That if you can couch things in what people already know or in an analogy in some way. I use analogies a ton when I'm talking to customers.
Yeah.
And so that's helpful. I never say, this is better than that, whether it's our gear or anybody else's.
Looking back on my reviews, is that we really didn't talk about the tubes all that much. And I figured that that might be a good place to start because I didn't even mention them at all. And I should have because they're a little unusual. They're not your typical tubes that you find in most hi-fi gear.
Yeah, certainly on the ultralinear side.
Yeah, on the ultralinear. That's correct. Yeah, we should point that out. On the ultralinear, I think they're used for like televisions and things like that. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
Yeah, and I mean, just to be clear, right? Like I'm the sales and marketing guy, so you asked for David Burning and you got me. That's a ripoff if I ever if I ever saw one. But so I can't get too technical with this. But yeah, the ultralinear tubes, and I think it's part of the magic of it, that and the power supplies, and we can get into the power supplies in a little bit too. But the tubes in that are a very commonly used tube back in the day when tubes were used for everything. And they're used in their TV. I may be getting the words in the wrong order, but they're Compactron TV sweep tubes.
Okay.
And so they're cute little stout things. I should have had you, take one out to show people, but they're 17 JN6s, if you want to Google them. And they just sound beautiful, man. I
They
mean, they're
do.
just effortless, really great bass control. I mean, obviously, it's not just the tube, just like a DAC. It's not just about the DAC chip. It's about what you're doing all around it. Likewise with tube amps, it's not just about the tube, but
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool little tube, and the best part about it is they're super inexpensive.
Yeah.
People get worried. One of the things that customers do ask me about is, can I get these tubes? And I sort of like what I'm hearing about the ultralinear, but what's up with these weird tubes? And well, in our amps, first of all, the tubes basically never burn out because we do run a third of the current through them, so they run much cooler and they last, a ton longer. But they're very expensive because they were made in uber mass quantities back in the day. So we have no trouble getting them, and no one else will either. And if you want to try to get your own, I mean, you could probably find good ones for 10 or $20 a piece. You don't have to buy them in volume.
with yeah. with
and that's not always the case with us. I mean, we do use expensive tubes in our Zotal 40 amp and stuff, but this is a direct, the ultralinear is a direct descendant of a David Burning amp. Don't ask me which one because I get them mixed up, but and so we use these tubes exclusively. It's what they have to use in that amp.
A side note about David Burning, and I want to just chat a little bit about him for a moment, but one of the things that I like to do, because I, like you, I'm on my phone quite often with a lot of people in the industry. And as I got your gear in, I started talking to a number of folks that are designers. They know amps like the back of their hands. And anytime that I brought up David to any of these guys, and this is, I swear this is exactly what they would say is, yeah, he's a genius. He's way out, like he's way out there. And so it was interesting to get my hands on this gear and what you said about the, specifically the ultralinear amp. And I don't know if the same applies to all of the other power amps. I haven't heard them, but the bass control and dynamics of that amplifier, it is freaky. If you pair it with the right speakers, obviously we got to lay out that disclaimer. But like I said in the review, it is convincingly solid state in its ability to control. And that really messed with me. I was like, man, it knows how to boogie, which was crazy. So what is like a basic overview history of David? What do you know about the guy? Can you kind of walk us through a little bit of that?
Yeah. I've talked to him a bunch, met him a bunch. I call him the nicest guy in audio. you know, Clayton Shaw is up there too. There's a lot of nice people in audio, but he's for being, and he is that the word is, he is a genius. There's no other word for him. You know, and he's the kind of guy that, he used to work for National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, I think, or Science and Technology, Standards and Technology. And actually the secret sauce of our amps is, you know, of course there's the Zotal side, but what came before that in David's career, as far as I know, is he designed power supplies for a living for 8 years. And so we all know how important power is to, you know, the audio world. It's literally, it's what's driving the signal to your speakers, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why power is so important. And so he designed power supplies for a living before he ever got into audio. And, you know, the story that I've heard told is he, while he was doing this, you know, he was working on this amplifier projects. And he had this string quartet that he would use as his test. And he could always get three of the instruments to sound right, but never all four. And then he finally came up with this design, and he was going to go to this, I think it was a holiday party for work, and, you know, a bunch of other engineer, you know, NIST geek people. And he was going to play this. And, you know, this was the design that he found that, you know, could, you know, generate all four of those. And he said, but he was really nervous because these were all very technical, you know, knowledgeable people. But he said, even if it didn't work, it wouldn't matter. They'd all be drunk anyway. And they'd just forget about it. And so apparently he took it and it went great. You know, and the rest sort of is history. And I'm sure that's somewhat apocryphal, but, it's a good story. But yeah, he's got all the different pieces. He's a do-it-yourself kind of guy. You know, he's not a young guy. He's in his 70s now. And, you know, over this past summer, we talk to him weekly. You know, he reviews all of our designs. You know, we're over there getting him to review stuff or help us troubleshoot, you know, new designs or changes. And, you know, so this summer we're in the DC area. DC is very hot and swampy. And, you know, so David, you know, what are you doing? Can we come over? We got this thing we want you to look at. Well, you know, come over tomorrow. I'm redoing my garage. And when David Burning says he's redoing his garage, he's literally redoing it. So he has this old garage. He lifted it up. He poured a new concrete foundation himself. He couldn't find the right door. So he built his own door and even built his own lock.
What?
Because he had a sort of
why
a lock
not?
Company.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Because that's what you do.
That's
right?
What you do. I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I build my own locks. You know, so he's this type of guy that he's just going to get down and dirty with everything. And he knows he pulls from, you know, like lots of good I think people that come out, you know, on the other side and build successful companies from things, he's not just a, you know, singular focus. This is what I do.
Sure.
He can pull from, you know, all kinds of different influences that, you know, while he's working on a lock, you know, while he's pouring concrete, you know, he's coming up with good ideas, and one thing will inform another. And he's just, yeah, he's a genius. He deserves more notoriety than I think he, you know, he gets.
Yeah.
You know, probably because his company is very niche within a niche, you know, audio fire world, not like Nelson Pass, you know, another genius.
Yeah.
In the amplifier world, but more people need to know David Barney's name for sure.
Another thing that I appreciate, and I think that I don't remember if I even, well, with some of the B-roll and the intro stuff, you could see it, but you guys use high quality stuff in the amps. And I didn't really pause or stop or mention that in the review. And that was something that I can appreciate. I am one of those audiophiles that absolutely believes that down to the, you know, components inside, it matters and it can make a difference. You guys use, I know that on the Ultralinear, you guys use Cardis RCAs and then WBT connectors for the speaker terminals. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then walk us through like caps and other stuff that you guys are throwing in there as well, and even the wiring.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting topic actually, because you know we're also constantly reevaluating things. So yeah, we use so there are Mundorf caps.
Yep.
In some places, you know, there's Lundahl transformers, Vishay-Dale resistors.
Yes.
You know, the volume control. You know, and we do that not just to be able to say the name. We do it after listening to different things, and there have been a number of cases, and most recently we were testing out some new caps, and it's different things in different places, right? You know, I mean, the one cap, using one type of cap in one place does not mean, okay, now we're going to use them in all places, because they have different sounds, and they have different sounds and different, and they interact with, in different ways with different amps. So we actually, we got a tip from a customer or someone, I don't remember, that there were these Japanese caps that were supposed to be fantastic, right?
Okay.
And so we tried them in a particular amp, and they were like, okay, yep, we're going to start using these in this particular spot in the amp. And then we started, as we do, we start to say, okay, well, if this works here, how does it work in another amp? And we put it in another amp, and we all sort of said it doesn't necessarily sound as good.
Interesting.
Even though it was more expensive, right? You know, and you know, quote unquote better. This is why better is really a dangerous term.
It is.
You know, we said, you know what, we're going back to the less expensive one because it just doesn't sound as good. There was something else that came in my head in the middle of that, but it doesn't matter. If it's important, it'll come back to me. But yeah, it's not only about you know, name brand, just for the name brand. It's about what sounds good. And the other thing actually that I was thinking of was, we're constantly reevaluating. So recently I just got an email to update the website, because we're switching to Kimber cable, in certain places in our amps.
Okay.
And so we want people to know about that because they've been around a while and they make great stuff, and that was a result of us listening to things. So it's a constant evaluation, and it's about, you know, choosing the right things in the right places, I think, is key as well.
Yeah, down to the right amp. That I appreciate what you just said so much. You have no idea, because this has been actually a recent thing that has been happening here at New Record Day. As I started these Tuesday teardowns of speakers, and I take them apart and show what's on the inside, and I try to leave myself out of it. I'm not saying this is good or bad. It's just, this is what we have here. And a lot of comments that I've been seeing and many conversations that I've been having is, well, yeah, I mean, those companies have spent the time to like pick the right parts for those particular speakers. But the reality is, that's not always the case. And in many conversations that I have with manufacturers, it might come down to, here's our target. This is what we need to hit in order to make this work. And these are the parts that we can order to make this work. What you just said is entirely different, which is, no, we actually listen and we're trying to find the right parts for the right amplifier because we're listening to it. And that's why it's in there. It's not just about, we have this budget, we have this target goal, and we got to stuff this, you know, stuff inside here. And that's the way that it goes. So kudos to you guys that you're actually you know, you have the discipline to, we're going to listen and we're going to find out what is the right components to go in these amps. That's remarkable. That's great.
Yeah, thanks. And don't get me wrong, right? I mean, there are production considerations.
Sure.
And that's where, you know, I've always thought it's funny, like when a new iPhone comes out, right? Yeah. One of the very first things is people are like, you know, that's $50 in parts or whatever, you know, or I could build that for, you know, X. And, you know, it's, there are things that you need to take into account when you're making these in quote unquote volume, right?
Yeah.
Like for us, volume is, we're still build to order, but, you know, you still have to make sure that the supply chain is there and you can get them, at a reasonable price, you know, and it's there consistently at that price,
yeah,
and just consistently in general. So there are certainly production, and cost considerations. I mean, we've made, decisions based around, okay, this sounds better, but it doesn't sound better enough.
I see.
Right.
I see.
You know, I mean, it's got, we're not going to double the price of a $25, you know, component. If it's just, you know, if we get six people around us to listen and they're like, yeah, maybe this one might sound a little bit better, you know, cause then we, you know, anything like that, you know, unless we're just going to eat it, which we often do, but you know, if it's big enough, we have to sort of build that into the price. And it's just, you know, you have to keep price point. You know, there is a calculation you have to do there. But I mean, for us, you know, maybe to a fault, you know, from a profit margin perspective, sometimes it's definitely quality is the first thing. And then it's about, all right, let's figure out what we can do, you know, to make it, you know, as cheap as or as inexpensive as possible.
That makes sense. I hope to hear from you that folks, that you're at least hearing from a good amount of folks that are treating this more than just a headphone amplifier. Are you finding success with this guy as a preamp? Because I wanted to make sure that when I got to the ultralinear, that I drove that point home that, in my opinion, this is a fantastic, like a very good preamplifier. Do you find that that's been the result so far with this little guy?
Yeah. In fact, you know, it's one of the things that surprised me when I first came into the company, right? I first came into the company and I look at our product line and I'm thinking in my head, because of its form factor and, you know, it's headphone amp, right?
Yeah.
You know, MZ2, MZ3 headphone amp. It just looks like something that would just fit perfectly on a desk. And then I start hearing from customers, and I'd say it's at least 50%
good
people that use that exclusively as a preamp.
Good.
Because it's the same thing. And this is something that I have to explain to customers all the time. Sonically, it's identical to our microsodal preamp, our sort of flagship preamp.
Yeah.
It's different in features, three inputs versus five. MZ3 doesn't have a balanced input. The MZ3 does. But sonically, it's exactly the same. And so, you know, it's a world-class, the MZ3 is a world-class in-game preamp without question. That's my only complaint about your review is that, you know, you didn't spend enough time on it as a preamp.
It's all headphone amp,
and you were sort of like hedging on the headphone amp.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. And that's why when I got to the ultralinear, I was like, I need to make sure and spend some time talking about this. And I'm glad to hear that. So we've talked about the MZ3, we've talked about the ultralinear. Can you kind of walk us through just a broadband view of your other products and what you guys have on the lineup right now?
Yeah. So we have basically three lines, if you want to call it, I guess, of power amp. We use shorthand for them, but there's and we have integrated versions. As of late last year, early this year, we have integrated versions of all of our power amps. So
Okay. There's
the Zotal 10, and then the Z10 integrated version of that. And then we have the ultralinear, and I'm going up in power, and I'll circle back. And then we have the Zotal 40 or Z40.
Okay.
So the Zotal 10, Z10, which we just call the 10, and then I guess there's the fourth line is the microzotal line.
Okay.
Right? You know, that we're familiar with the MZ3 already. So the Zotal 10 EL84 based. It's our entry level power amp, and then you know, so 13 watts, 12 or 13 watts as an integrated amp. That's the other interesting thing about the Zotal circuit, is that, you know, people are used to hearing the power rating change a lot with different ohm levels. Mm-hmm. And because of the Zotal magic, it just doesn't care as much.
Interesting.
And so, you know, it's 13 watts into 4 ohms, 12 watts into 8 ohms, right? You know, like, yeah, big difference. Ultralinear doesn't change at all. And then 40 is, you know, the 40 is 46 to 51. Don't ask me to explain why it's called 40. And then, you know, but it's 46 to 51 watts.
Shenanigans. You know, I call shenanigans.
Yeah, exactly. Just to confuse people. We want, you know, buying decisions to be as confusing as possible. So the Z10, great, you know, quote unquote, entry level amp. It drives, you know, we have speaker recommendations with all of our amps, you know, as I talked about in some of the comments. Yes. In the MV3 video. And we get that question a lot. We get speaker, you know, pairing questions a lot because of the power rating of our amps. And so we're really conservative with what we say. So, you know, that one, I think we say you should have 90 dB or above. The Z10, we should have 90 dB or above for critical listening.
Okay.
And then it goes, you know, sort of basically in 2 or 3 dB increments from there. So the ultralinear, we say it's 88 and 85. For critical listening, and then the lower number is the higher number is critical listening, the lower number would be for smaller rooms, near field, lower volumes.
Sure.
And then on the Zotal 40 side, you know, the most powerful EL34 tubes, just mid-range, love. It's our tubiest, yeah, sounding amp. You know, none of our amps are sound like, you know, the tube amp that, you know,
traditional sense of tubes. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But it's our tubiest sounding amp. And the EL34s have a lot to do with it. And that, I think we do like 80 and 85 are the recommendations. But on the Z10, right, like that's the amp that I'm lucky enough to take home with the most frequency. And I have a pair of Ryan R630 speakers as my main speakers. I absolutely love them.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely love them.
Great.
Highly recommend them. And I've had them for mostly because I'm familiar with them, right?
Yeah. You
know, there were some comments with you about having a reference system, and you know, they're my reference speaker, not because they're, you know, the best that you can possibly get, right? But
yeah,
I'm used to them. I know what they sound like.
Yeah.
And you know, so when I introduce new things, I know what it sound. I know it, you know, the differences. So I bring that Z10 home with some regularity, and those are 4 ohm, 88 dB.
I think you're right. I'm very
four drivers, three way, yes, four drivers, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I listen to a lot of jazz, quiet jazz in the morning before my wife gets up.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm playing this amp at volume level 5 or less.
Yeah.
You know,
and you're
still
fine,
getting like really good bass, you know, coming, yeah, in there, right? You know, you're not just like, oh, the bass player forgot to show up for this recording session. And then if I, you know, I want to blow it out, you know, later on in the day, I'm maxing the thing out at 65 or so out of 99 on the volume control.
And you're just killing it. Yeah. Wow.
Certainly loud enough, you know, for, you know, that you wouldn't want to, you'd start damaging your ears if you went up to 70 or 75 and you're still only 3/4 of the way through the volume control, right?
You know. Oh, so. Wow. So it's a good pairing. That's awesome. What other gear do you have? What else do you have rocking in your system?
So, yeah, I think partly because I do work for an amplifier company, I don't have to be a gear-ophile or you know, gear hound. I'm lucky enough to, you know, there's a parade of gear that comes through the shop that I get to listen to every day, you know, when we are able to work in our offices again or in the shop again.
Yeah.
You know, I've got, you know, now I think we're at the low point where we only have 3 DACs in there, right? You know,
yeah,
so embarrassment of riches. So I don't have a lot of equipment. So let's start what I'm looking at now. So I'm in my basement, which is my quote unquote second system.
Okay.
It's the one that's hooked up to my TV. And it's a Rotel, like RA12 or something.
Okay.
It's the integrated,
yeah,
amp. you know, basic, you know, get it at Best Buy kind of a thing, which I wouldn't do now, but I bought it years and years ago.
Sure.
I 100%, you know, I have to tell people, you know, buy local, buy small, buy American if you can.
Yeah.
But Rotel's a great company. And then they're next to a pair of Bowers and Wilkins, you know, I don't know, like they're like the mid-range on the 600
series.
I don't remember the number.
Yeah.
And this is not my, you do any critical listening. It's only hooked up to my TV.
Okay.
So it's, you know, just to watch movies. And I have a little, I have a Bowers & Wilkins sub back there to back it up when we're watching movies. So that's real basic. And then upstairs, I have the Ryan R630s.
Awesome.
Right now, I have the Microzotal preamp, the Zotal 40, and the Ultra Linear.
Just to
brag a little bit.
It's like Christmas morning every day. My goodness.
Yeah, it totally is. I'm lucky. It's great. And yeah, I'll take it. And so, we actually loaned that equipment out to a customer, and I picked it up from him right when all this Corona stuff started to hit. And so, you know, I couldn't bring it back to the shop, right?
Absolutely. You know,
it would be irresponsible of me.
Absolutely.
I've been using this opportunity to, you know, because at the shop, right, you're busy. It's a noisy environment. You got packages, you got amps going in and out, and you just got work to do. You don't do a whole lot of critical listening there. And so I've used this opportunity to, you know, have these amps, and I have a couple DACs too, that I'm actually doing some, all right, what do these really sound like to me? Right. You know, so I can be a better, you know, representative of the gear and help people in their decisions.
Good for you.
And so, yeah, just trying to be as productive and, you know, do that kind of thing. So yeah, that's great. And obviously that's what I've been listening to right now. And on the floor next to all that unconnected is still my Rode Cronus Magnum 2, which is still a great
fine amp.
There. Yeah. Again, a small American company just up the road from us in Pennsylvania, a few hours. Great guys. I, you know, email Nick and he gets back to me.
Nick's awesome. And, yeah.
You know, yeah. He's great.
Awesome, man.
So I think that's it from a main system. I've never actually owned separates before. Space and money. I like integrateds, and I think, you know, that's the way that the world is going, to be honest with you.
Did I miss out on, did you mention a turntable?
Right. So I used to have good call. I used to have just a Project Debut Carbon. And that's even what I used when I worked at the record pressing company.
It's fine. It's a fine table. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you upgrade the cartridge on it. You know, I put a Ortofon 2M Blue versus the red, and you're in heaven. And it's funny. So, you know, I often find people in whatever industry it is, they're less sort of geeks about the gear in that industry than consumers are.
Oh yeah.
You know, so even when at the record pressing company, I mean, we were using, you know, a bunch of projects, you know, Debut Carbons and stuff. What's that? Like the Audio Technica, you know, like the $120
that everybody's seen. Table. Yeah. Right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that's what you want to test on.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like we had a listening room. We were partners with Macintosh and Transparent Cables and, you know, a few others. And so we had a listening room, and it was great to, you know, bring the gang in and you do some really critical listening on stuff. But, you know, our test gear was middle average, you know, stuff. And it goes back to actually the guy that I bought the Rogue from. Oh, and my DAC my home DAC is a Rega DAC R.
Okay.
And again, just because I've had it for years, I didn't really choose it. It was just like, I think he threw it in for free, like legit. You know, he was like, you're buying this other stuff, you know, like here it is. And that's the beauty. They'll never do that at Best Buy.
True.
You know, they're never going to just throw in a $1,500 DAC at Best Buy.
No.
The guy that I bought that from is the Listening Room in Maryland. Shout out to Michael. He's a great guy. And I went to his basement. It was one of those shops at that time. Now he has an actual storefront, but I went to his house, and he happens to live near my in-laws. And I went there and I auditioned the system. And one of the things that he did, and I still remember it to this day, is he used the thinnest, just bare bones speaker wire ever.
Yeah.
And what he explained to me was, he said, I want you to know that the quality that you're getting is from what you're purchasing, not from any other magic, not because I've got tens of thousands worth of other things that I'm throwing at it, right? Like, he was trying to sell me, you know, an amp and speakers, not trying to, you know, I wasn't gonna spend twice that in cables if that's what he was running, you know.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was genius, and it's something that I think more people should do, to just say, like, look, it's not about all this other stuff. Like, you know, if you can get this sound out of this, imagine what you could do if you just spent,
to go,
you
from
know,
there
a little bit more.
Right? I love that. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. Anytime that anybody reaches out to LTA, are they, how big is LTA? That's a good question to ask. Is like, who's all involved in LTA?
Yeah, we're small. We're smaller than most people think. You know, I think we do a good job. You know, I'll pat myself on the back because it's my job, but we do a good job of seeming bigger than we are. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have, so there's me. I'm the guy that if you call or email, that's who you're going to hear from. Mm. I set up all the reviews, you know, obviously, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I'm the sales and marketing guy. And then we've got, so Mark Schneider is our founder.
Okay.
And he's the one that, of course, designs the products and designs it around the Zotal circuit.
Okay.
And then, you know, so he does, what would you call that? You know, yeah, design, product design. He's an engineer by trade.
Okay.
Then we've got sort of a all-in-one guy who is the perfect guy for the job. His name is Matt. So he's our shipping manager. He's also does lots of admin stuff, like, you know, books and stuff like that. And he's also our final QC person. So
okay.
Think about that for a second, right? So, and he's also, he is the most meticulous person I've ever met, like super detail oriented.
Yeah.
And so he does our books, right? But that also plays into the QC side. So he is so detail oriented. He doesn't let anything pass, and he's very methodical. He also was a music composition major in college. And so his ear is fantastic.
Awesome.
So, you know, not only are we doing sort of, you know, scope tests and, you know, machine tests, but listening tests for, you know, all the amps. And so his ear picks up things that, you know, my 40 some year old ears could never pick up. So that's great. Matt's amazing. Then we have Will, who does, so he does, like, you know, he's working on lots of projects, like, you know, cost reduction and production engineering, basically, right?
Okay.
You know, so what can we do to produce things at the same quality, but more? You know, more quickly, right?
Yeah.
You know, and making sure he does all the ordering. So making sure that, you know, there's a ton of parts in across however many amps we have, right? And so making sure that we have all the parts for the orders that come in, it's a big job. You know, these are the things that you don't really think about when you think about, like, oh, I could start an, you know, amp, come, I could build an amp, you know, I've built the bottlehead crack before.
Yeah.
So that's a huge job. And he does great at it. He happens to be Mark's son. And then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that are technicians that build the amps, 6 or 7, depending, because we sometimes have some interns,
sure,
and some guys that come in part time. But the main crew is really 5 guys that build all the amps. And we have sort of them broken up into teams. So the same guys build the microZotal products, and the same guys, you know, build the power amps and, you know, stuff like that. So
awesome.
10.
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about, I don't know if I remember if I mentioned this to you, but I did receive confirmation, and you guys have been very graceful in how long you've let me keep my grubby hands on this gear, but Clayton is sending me the M3 Sapphires. So those are going to be coming out. And I got confirmation from him just a few days ago that as early as 3 weeks, which is freaking bananas, totally exciting. Have you spent time listening to your gear on his stuff? And what were your impressions? What did you think? I remember us briefly talking about his speakers, and I think we're on the same page that we both dig the spatial sound.
100%. love those speakers. Probably the speakers outside of my own, those M3 Sapphires are the ones that I've listened to the most. We had the M3 Turbo Masters when I started here a little over a year ago. And then once he came out with the M3 Sapphires, we got, I think, the first or second pair in September or so, right before Capital Audio Fest.
Awesome.
And so we had them until just about a month ago, and he's going to send us the latest version, which I think is sonically identical, but just looks different.
Some cosmetics.
So yeah, I had a good 6 months or so with those, with all of our gear. Oh, they're so fantastic. You know, so the combination that got the most, you know, hype was, and it started at Capital Audio Fest, was the Z10 integrated with the M3 Sapphires and the Lampazator Amber 3 DAC, which we put together at the show. At the time, the price points were such that we could offer that system with a pair of free anti-cables speaker cables for under 10 grand,
dude,
which is insane.
Insane. Yeah. You're done. At that point, you're done. Like,
yeah, say no more.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you got, I mean, add a turntable, right?
Yeah,
you
know, right. But, of course, obviously, yeah.
Unreal. So, yeah, those speakers, and it's those are the first speakers that are, or his speakers are the first open baffle speakers that I had ever heard. So, two 15-inch woofers that are, you know, they double up between 30 and 90, right? And
yeah.
Then the middle one goes 30 and up, and yeah. Then you've got that crazy magic tweeter that does like 575
a gazillion
to,
yeah
to you know right
yeah
that's magic it, and you know and I mean I can't tell you how many people come into the shop and they're like it's just these playing like you don't have a sub or like we have a sound thing that sort of looks like it might be a speaker and we have had people like make me move that to just be like there's not that's not an actual speaker right you know
yeah.
Like, there's not I mean, when we first got them, we plugged them up. I connected it all. And the way that our shop is, we have a front of house area because we used to be a retail shop. We don't really do that anymore. And then the back, it's a townhouse. So the front is like front of house and it's where our system is. And the back is where everything's built. And I hooked them up and we put on some of our, you know, demo, like show off tracks.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing that all the time for customers, right?
Yeah.
And the guys in the back, you know, they don't care. They're listening.
They've heard
to
it a million
music.
Times.
They're
yeah.
building, right? Like
Whatever.
They're just going. They just started walking out. You know, like there's this Bjork track that I play that's just, you know, insane.
Bananas.
And they were like, what is going on with that? Yeah, the bass on it is just crazy. Super revealing. I mean, soundstage, fantastic. You know, just detail the way, I mean, it's like, you know, I was talking to somebody and it's like you can, I mean, obviously lots of it has to do with the amps, you know,
yes.
But, you know, it's like you can hear where, you know, if a drummer is using, you know, plastic tips or wood
yeah,
tips on
that
those.
Type
you know
of detail
I mean?
Retrieval. Yeah.
Yeah. You can hear that sort of, you know, on the attack side and then, you know, it just adds a couple seconds to the decay on things. Yeah, I wish
wait.
I had more in my house, but yeah, oh, they're fantastic.
Cannot yeah. wait. Well, I want to drop that gem and let everybody know. Dude, this has been a pleasure. It's great to be able to chat with you. In terms of the new Record Day crew, what else would you want us to know about LTA that we haven't talked about so far? Is there anything else that we haven't covered that we should go ahead and talk about before we wrap this up?
I mean, I don't think so. You know, I mean, maybe the t-shirt, you know, sums it all up, right?
I love,
you know,
just, I was going to mention know, it. I love that.
Yeah,
I love it.
Love thy amplifier. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that I see is that, you know, like our quote unquote tagline is bring music to life. Right.
Yeah.
And that means two things to us. One is, from a sonic perspective, we're, you know, like all high-end audio companies, we want to, you know, bring the musical, the recording to life in your home, right? But what we also mean is we want you to bring music into your life,
mm.
right? You know, so we want it to be, we want, you know, you to integrate it. We want it to be a family communal thing.
Yeah.
We want you to enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
And it is all about, you know, creating this illusion, right? You know, music is an illusion that this is a guitar and, you know, being played, right? It's not
yeah.
an actual guitar being played.
Yeah.
And, you know, I listened to an interview recently, I think it was a Darko interview, and he was talking to the Inuos guy, and the Inuos guy said, when you're walking by a club and there's a live band, you're outside and there's a live band playing inside, you know it's a live band, right? Like, you don't have to go in and see what kind
you
of
know
gear.
It. Like, you just know it.
Right. Your brain just knows these things. You know the difference between recorded sound that is being reproduced and live sound. And so it is different. But what I took from that is your brain is picking up on why does your brain know that, right? How does your brain know that? It just points to the fact that our brains are picking up and are analyzing things on a level that, you know, we just can't even fathom and comprehend. And so that's sort of, you know, get lost in that a little bit, right? And buy a gear based on that feeling, right? You know, and settle in, listen to an entire album, you know, on gear, right?
Yeah.
You know, in the age, and I'm guilty of it. I do it all the time, especially when I'm, you know, trying to, you know, I'm evaluating a new thing or a new DAC or whatever it is. I fall into this trap of, oh, let's start that track over and let's listen to the first 30 seconds of that on these different things. And now let's change this one thing and listen to that first 30 seconds. And I'm not sure that's as helpful as really living with something and, you know, just listening to it. And then at the end of a week or two saying, all right, this is the one that I enjoyed the most. This is the one that when I was not even in the listening position, I was over there cooking dinner.
Yeah.
That's the one that I got lost in. And, you know, like I was, you know, it made me tap my feet. I look for that when I run rooms or when I go to rooms at shows. What rooms are people, you know, snapping their finger, not really snapping their fingers. Nobody does that at shows, but you know, they're, you know, tapping their foot or, you know, bobbing their head a little bit. What music literally moves you?
Yeah.
Pay attention to that kind of stuff. You know, at least as much as you pay attention to, you know, any of the technical stuff. You know, make sure the technical stuff is right. But once you get it in your house, what do you enjoy and enjoy it?
I love it, man.
So it's all that.
I love it. What a pleasure it's been. I really appreciate you guys. I've loved your equipment. You can't have it back. Don't take it away from me.
We haven't asked for it back yet.
No. I want to hang on to it a little bit longer. So it's going to be fun to be able to pair this stuff up for another review, which will be the Spatial M3 Sapphire. So guys, look out for that. And Nick, my man, thank you so much for joining in, hanging out with us. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Folks, I'll leave all the links that you need down below. So LTA, bookmark them, check out their site. You know, one thing that I want to make clear is that, you know, when it comes to working with manufacturers, I pay attention to how I'm treated through the review process, and I pay attention to how they treat my crew, which is you guys. Do they jump in there? Do they comment? Do they engage? And you have done a great job with that. From the very beginning, you guys have left me alone. You've let me say what I want and total freedom. So I really do appreciate you. And it makes it easy to recommend LTA. I mean, aside from the fact that their stuff is legit and it sounds amazing, the way that you treat people, it matters. And it makes it easy to do stuff like this. So thank you.
Well, especially these days, right? You know, we're realizing there are more important things in life.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to treat people right.
Yeah.
You know, we've always thought that.
Yeah.
But
cool.
Yeah. Got to treat people right. Thanks,
all right,
Ron.
Guys. Yeah. Thank you, man. All right, folks. That's a wrap. Happy Frequency Friday to everybody out there. I certainly appreciate you all. If you have any questions, comments, leave them down below. And we'll see you guys in the next video.